This weekend, we are actually having this conference of three meetings. We had two sessions yesterday, and this morning we have our final session of this conference. But the brothers arranged this in a very particular way. Yesterday, we had a session with many of the young working saints who are married with children in the morning, and then last night also with many young ones who are single and maybe just married without children. So there is a much burden to speak to this group of age group of saints. And this morning is a blending of a number of churches in this area, and that includes old and young, everyone. So it's a really special, I would say, very special. You know, on one hand, we are still continuing the burden of this conference. No doubt, overall, there is much burden for many of the young working ones the Lord brought to this area. Even this morning, in spite of there are so many older ones here whom I really treasure, thank the Lord, there are still many so-called fathers, you know, in the churches here. They are very, very necessary. And I appreciate Brother Minoru was here not too long ago giving you a conference to the older senior saints, right? And so the younger ones, you probably didn't get a chance to attend that, but that's fine, and you have your chance this weekend. I mean, it is wonderful that in God's house, in God's family, there are these different age groups of saints. We have little children. We have many young ones, you know, like with a large number of you here, and also the older ones. Unfortunately, I'm falling into more to that older group now, as much as I didn't want to, but that's how it goes right now. And, you know, I didn't, you know, when I was much younger, I didn't make anything of it. You know, the older saints now is, you know, as time went on, I see how precious the older saints are. Really, I mean, I speak this from my heart, because without these older saints, the younger ones don't have a pattern, don't have a way, you know, to go on. And although, you know, for the going on of the recovery, front and center is this group of young working saints. We are very burdened for them, so that even the older ones, I believe, we are all for you. For the older, younger saints, that you can be perfected, you can grow, you can mature in life in these coming days before the Lord returns. So, you know, because we are all in this together, we are all here for the same goal, you know, for the building up of the body, for the preparation of the bride, you know, to prepare for the Lord's coming. So, this morning, even in this setting, the underlying burden is still targeting toward this group of young working saints. But as, at the same time, the fellowship, the message, whatever the outline, really is also at the same time is for all of us. It's for all of us. Just a little brief recap of what we covered yesterday. We had two messages. The first message is concerning the need to know God's will and the need to know the present age. And this applies not only really to the younger saints, but to all of us. Saints, we need to know God's will. God's will is the reason we are here, right? We've been here, some have been here for 50, 60, 70 years. You know, why are we here? Because of God's will. We are here not because of continuing a certain tradition, keeping our religious duty. We are here because we have been captured, captivated by the Lord, because we saw there is something called the will of God in this universe. As says in Roman, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it is because of His will we were and were created. You and I, our existence is not an accidental event. You and I, our existence is because there is such a will in this universe. God's will, which directed all of us with His sovereignty, determines where we should be born, how we should be raised up, and how eventually we get saved and enter the church life. If you look back, you have to bow to worship the Lord. Thank you for all that you have arranged. In my environment, I was born in Hong Kong. I was born in a middle class, low middle class family. Well, I thank the Lord for that. And my parents, you know, they were not believers. My father was, became a Christian when I was young. He was meeting in some denomination. But then at a certain point that somehow my older brother got saved when he was in high school. Got saved through his friend's brother. He visited his friend's home to play. And then that friend's brother, who was a very seeking, burning brother in the church life in Hong Kong, and he invited my brother to a gospel meeting, and my brother got saved there. And that's how, because of him, all of us, the siblings, we got into the church life. And my parents still were not, but anyway, you know, they were Christians, and they are now with the Lord. And when I look back, I don't want to say blamed on my brother, you know, that particular friend who brought him, invited him to the gospel meeting is also here, not here, but here in the U.S., and they're living in Arizona now. And every time when I saw them, I said, it's all because of you, all because of you that... But, you know, after all, it's not because of him. We all know it's because of God's will. Amen. It's God's will with his sovereignty. You know, he arranged, you know, all these environments. And many of you, you immigrated here. You know, it's not because you were just seeking for opportunities. You know, you were looking for, a better environment. But you have to realize it is God's will that has brought you here. That has brought you here. Many of you were not saved before you came to this country. But now you got saved just when you came here, a new environment, and you got brought to a gospel meeting, and you heard the gospel, and the Lord appeared to you, and you got saved. All of these are not accident. Nothing happened to us by accident. Everything is according to his sovereign arrangement for the fulfillment of his will. His will. That includes our marriage, the raising up of our children, our career, right? That's why I reminded all the young working saints who are so busy, caught up, you know, in this this rat race here, you know, in this dot-com area, you know, with is a lot of prosperity, a lot of bright future, you may say. But here you are. You are not the same as the one sitting next to your cubicle. You are a chosen race. You are not, although you are in this world, you are not of this world. You know, you look, I said many times when I look at the Jewish people, especially these Orthodox Jews, they are living, they are in New York, in the midst of this, all the glamorous environment, you know, money making and all the high class society. They kept their, they knew they are special. They retained their status. So walking in the midst, they still wore, you know, dressed the way they are. They know they are. They still walk among them, but still they know their status. I really hope all our young ones, you are working in this busy world, don't forget your status. Amen. You are a chosen race. You are, although in the world, in the midst of, you're working just as hard as everybody else, but you are not the same. You are not of this world. And we touch a lot in these last two meetings, the first two meetings, concerning this matter of the world, which is a system for to carry out Satan's will, the satanic will. So on the positive side, we have God's will that has that entails his desire to gain an expression of himself by gaining a people into whom God can work himself into them to constitute them to be his corporate enlarged expression. That's God's will. And because of God's that will, he purposed a plan, which we call his economy, that he had to come to be a man, to live on this earth, eventually to die for us, to redeem us. But then he also resurrected from the dead after 3 days to become a life-giving spirit in order to live within the believers. Now, God is no longer just in the heavens. God in Christ as the Spirit is living in us. God and man now for the first time can be brought together as one. And now, although Jesus Christ, after he resurrected, he also ascended back to the Father. But as the Spirit, he is living within all of us. Amen. We are still on the earth. He didn't take us away. He left us here on the earth to be his continuation, to continue to live as Jesus did when he was on the earth. This is his body. This is the church on the earth. This is not, the church is not another kind of religious organization. The church, as the body of Christ, is Christ's continuation, is Christ's enlargement. Amen. So here we are, 2,000 years have passed. The church is still here, right? Passing through many ups and downs, thick and thin, through human history. Many kingdoms rose and fell, came and gone, but the Lord's church is still here. Amen. And it still will be here to welcome back our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is for sure. And we are all waiting for that. And surely, of course, we expect that the condition of the church would be ready, right? Would be ready when he comes, that we will not be found in wanting, lacking. And this is what trigger all these burdens that we are having these days. The time is close. So we have God's will. That is the initiation point, which is the main reason we are doing what we are doing. We should not be living an empty not only a secular life, we should not even live an empty, meaningless Christian life. You know, Christians can be empty also, right? Sometimes you got saved and you are now in the church life. Some may feel, well, I just come to a meeting, you know, sing some song, do a prophesying, you just a newer routines. Dear saints, I hope you will see much more than that. This is not just a newer routine, a newer kind of setup. We are here living in the midst, in the center of God's will. We have a goal, we have a purpose, we have a meaning for our being here. Week after week, seemingly not a whole lot's going on, not a lot of excitement. Sometimes there are challenges, there are you know, conflicts, there are complications. Nevertheless, we know where we are heading. Amen. We are here to work out God's will. Amen. But then, you know, at the same time, there is, in opposite to this, is there is a satanic will, which is absolutely in contrast to what God is trying to do. God desires to work Christ into us. But the devil, Satan, wants to do everything he could to displace Christ from us and to substitute and to bring in substitute into our being. The devil, Satan, devised a very smart plan in two levels. First, of course, he used sin and the flesh to corrupt, to spoil man. We readily see that. We see the ugliness of sin, the ugliness of all the fleshly activities, the murder, the killing, the robberies, the drunkenness. That's one side. But he also, very smart, to devise a system which we call the world. The world in Greek is the word cosmos, which means an ordered system, a very well-organized system, like a university, like a department store, right? Sometimes I'm just amazed, you know, going through every airport when I land, you know, especially in foreign countries. After you get through the immigration, you have to pass through their duty-free area, right? You have no choice. You can just go to get your bag. They have to get you through that, you know, the area where they are trying to sell you their goods. That's the world. They are designed to get your attention. They're designed to get your pocket. They're designed to, you know, to capture you. So somehow, you know, by the time you reach the baggage claim, you already pick up some other baggages. And, you know, the world, Satan is very smart, very clever in designing a system called the world, which may be very different from, you know, all the sinful, ugly things. But the world that is called cosmos, comprised of many elements, such as entertainment, such as education, such as health, sports, right? Science, technology, they're all different departments of this cosmos. Satan has this university called the University of Error. Is a university that designed to help you to make mistakes, to help you to make error. This is what the Apostle Paul called the system of error in chapter 4, designed to lead people astray, to make sure all the space in your heart will be taken. There will be left no room for Christ. You may still be going to church. You may still continue to read some Bible. You may still do some Christian activities, but your heart does not have much room there. I still remember my first time to Ukraine. That's probably nearly 20 years ago. My first time Ukraine invited to hold a conference for young, mostly college age young people there. And that was in Kyiv. And so there were a few sessions. And then after the first session, during the break time, about 30 minutes, and it was held in some kind of a school. I walked out. I saw all these ones. They were not drinking coffee. They were holding the outline. They were fellowshipping with one another. I don't know what you were doing during the break time. You know, today, you do have your chit-chat and your kid drinking your coffee and tea. But I saw those young people. They were, none of them were drinking refreshment. They were just focusing, taking that chance to fellowship with one another, how to absorb, how to enjoy more. That gave a deep impression within me. Even on the plane back, I still remember that. I said, why? The young people in America, not like this. I went to young people's conferences. They can't wait for the break time. They can't wait, well, let's break, and they ran off, and then they do their things. But these young people, you know, they are also young, but somehow they were just interested in how to get into the message more, how to fellowship more. So that gave me a deep impression. I said, Lord, it's all because there's nothing, their being was unoccupied. They were hardly, at that time, you know, that's probably 20 years ago or more, many, many homes did not have TV, did not have computers. They were very poor. They just had nothing. And so these young people, their being were just available to the Lord. But compared to, you know, our country being so prosperous, being so abundant, our young people, many of you, we grew up in this area. You know, you are living in a land of abundance with so much. And then you don't realize this kind of abundance is being utilized by Satan to take away the room in your heart for Christ. So your appetite is not where it should be, right? You still come to the meeting. You still do the religious things. But you know yourself, I am not where I should be. All these are just kind of, you go through these religious routines, right? You know you cannot stop. You should not stay away from the church. But neither are you here giving Christ all the rooms. So come back to Satan's plot, you know, especially in this area. Of course, there are some other areas as well where, you know, many young ones are gathered, like in the Boston area, New York, Northwest, you know, where Amazon. Now these are the few hotspots in the country where many bright, promising young people are gathered because of these, opportunities, right? And you see, on the one hand, you see opportunities, promises, and so forth. But at the same time, you see the risk, you see the danger. And especially as we see the age is changing, advancing so much, right? I don't know, you feel happy about it, or you feel, you know, skeptical, concerned. You know, you may feel, wow, I talk quite a bit about AI these couple of days. You know, again, I want to say AI is what? AI is a heap of ruin. That was already, God already put it there in Genesis. In opposite to Bethel was a city called AI. That's what the AI will lead you to, a heap of ruin. And as an opposite testimony to Bethel, the house of God. Anyway, I don't want to get into more details about that. You know, on the news and this and that, there are not just the good side of AI. There are many sad stories happen due to this kind of convenience. I introduced to the saints the book by Brother Watchman Nee, Love Not the World. I really encourage many saints, probably many of the older saints have read it. I read it many, many years ago, but I hope if you can, reread it again. The young ones, many of the younger generation had no idea because there was even such a book like that, because it's not in the on the digital form. It's not, you cannot access it on your ministry books. You have to get a copy, buy it, because it's only available, the English, only available in the printed form. But that book really so enlightening to me, to Brother Nee, touch the core of this matter of the world. The system, two things. One is that it counters God. It opposes God. This is clear. That's why numerous times the Lord Jesus says that the now is the judgment of the world. And now shall the ruler of the world be judged. And this is why, because we are not of the world, that's why the world hates us. It's not the people of the world. It's that if this system hates us because we don't fit here, we don't belong here. This thing called the world is anti-God. Anti-God. And I would say even it's anti-Christian. And secondly, we see that this system is not just merely a system. There is a mind behind the system. There is someone called the ruler of this world. So with all the dot-coms, with all the facilities of the today's internet and so forth, you have to believe what the word tells us. There is a ruler. There is a prince behind this. There is a prince of Google. There's a prince of Apple. There's a prince of Microsoft. You believe me. There's a prince behind all these to do all these things with an indefinite intention to tie you down, to occupy, preoccupy you, so that you have no space for Christ. Even though you want to, but you find yourself so squeezed. Your time, your energy, you work, it's no longer 40-hour week is nearly unheard of these days. You just 50, 60, 70 hours, and you got so exhausted. And you have three kids to come back to feed. And then you have, one sick, and then another one, and then your boss is, hey, pushing on you on the project, pressing you. When are you going to turn in that project? And then suddenly a brother in the church coming around, hey, tomorrow you give an opening word. He said, what is this? I can't handle it. I'm breaking down. What should I do? Oh, I said, unfortunately, I heard some brothers say, I can maybe get some help from AI to help me to formulate a little message for me to share. Please, brothers, don't do that. AI has no spirit. AI has no God. Even though it can do a fantastic job, it has no spirit. God will never accept that as a prophecy to build up the church. Right? But anyway, what I'm saying is that today, that's what many of you, the younger generation, you are confronting, right? You find conflict. You find, just in a strait, how to go forward. You have to give up something, right? And you're concerned about your living. I can't give up my job, right? How am I going to live? I'm going to pay the rent, right? I mean, the rent in this place is just horrendous. I mean, you just keep going up and up and up, and you have to make certain amount. I mean, nearly today, if you're just a newcomer in this area, the pricing of the housing is just you're priced out of the market. You can't make it. You have to move to no longer, even Nevada is not easy. You have to go to really Timbuktu somewhere, you know, to survive, to, you know. But you want to live in this area, but my, what the pressure. So we sympathize with this group of saints. But I just want, you know, we are not giving you any kind of outward solution. But we want to let you realize there is a mind behind that system. There is a plot Satan is using to preoccupy you, which is counter God's will, to carry out the satanic will. Eventually, that will lead to this ultimate person, the man of sin, the Antichrist, who will fight directly with Christ. So this is the situation we are in. So every day, young brothers and sisters, you have to know where you are, so what God's will is, and also to know Satan, the satanic will, and how to position yourself. Yes, how do you face all these pressures from all sides? I cannot tell you, you know, what is the secret? What is the way? If there is any secret, the secret is Christ. Amen. You know, I said yesterday about Jesus, even as the Son of God, he had to be tested 3 times. And the first thing of that test was concerning his living, his human living. 40 days, you've been without food. Don't you want to eat? Don't you want to survive? You can change the stones into bread. But the Lord replied, man shall not live by bread alone. As hungry as he was at the moment, he still said, man lives by the bread, by the word of God. Of course, the word of God is the breath of God. The word of God is God himself. Many of the older ones, we also pass through our stages of life. You know, we pass through difficult, hard bosses, challenges in raising children, but maybe not as intense as in these days. But still, we had our share of challenges. But to be truthful, we were living in a time not as distracting, not as complicated as in these days. We learn to exercise our spirit, to enjoy the Lord, to trust in the Lord. You know the song we sang, 456. I don't know how many of you had sung this. Many older ones probably had. I don't know how many of the younger ones had sung this. When I was this was one of my favorite hymns when I was a young brother, young Christian growing up. I love singing that hymn. Many, many times, living for Jesus. And I mean, that really has quite an impact on my life, you know, for me to give my life to the Lord. And I use that hymn a lot, even in my time with the Lord in the morning, you know, really have fellowship, really. You know, So even in the midst of all the complications in our life, we learn to turn to the Lord, you know, to trust in the Lord. We can handle, we can overcome every little thing, but at least we just keep coming to the Lord again and again. The Lord somehow brought us through. And here you are in a very complicated situation. You know, in our days, you know, in the older days, the world and the Christian life the demarcation was quite clear. Quite clear. When you touch, when you step into the world, handling the world, you are touching it. But nowadays, you can hardly differentiate. You can hardly tell, because the world is so much interwoven into your life now, right? It's part of your life. It's just interwoven into the fabric of your human living. So, I mean, you cannot, you know, in those days, as I described, you turn on a TV, that's world. But nowadays, turn on the TV, you know, turn off the TV, you know. It's just the things that just keep going. I mean, you don't have to go to a certain place. You don't have to go to the living room. It's right in your pocket, all these conveniences. And it's part of your life. You don't know where the world starts and where your human life ends. It just meshed together. So Satan is smart, so smart. He knows you may reject sin, you may condemn sin, but you will not condemn and judge all these good things, all the smartness, all the convenience, all the advances. But all I want to say again, there is a mind behind all this. And there is a system together at work, including religion, is one of the departments. It's one of the departments. In order to lead you astray from our unique goal. So dear saints, may the Lord have mercy on us as we are living in the last part of this age. We don't know. Last night I repeated, next 10 years is very crucial. Many of the young ones, you are in your 30s, 40s, some in the 50s, but still young. Next 10 years to really to give yourself to the Lord. You are in the busiest part of your human life, growing children, developing your career, and even helping out parents, aging parents, and the church life, lots and lots of responsibility. In the midst of all this, these 10 years, I say, is the greatest opportunity for you to speed up your growth, for you to experience His intensified organic salvation, His intensified grace to you. What is impossible with man is possible with God. I believe it. I have full assurance in the most challenging, difficult, complicated situation you are facing in your life. If you would give the Lord a moment to turn your heart to Him, to cry out to Him, He will bring you through. He will bring you through. It's not this percentage, that percentage, how much to balance, this and that. No, it's either God or Satan. Amen. This is the determining point. So, this is what we were speaking yesterday, you know, to the young ones. And I believe that is also very applicable to the rest of us here. Because we are living in this very precarious times. You know, the world, the politics, you know, is just totally in confusion. And the war is, the world is fighting. The war is still going on, the contention, the animosity. And our country is no better, undergoing much conflict. And the social side of things is straying. You can see the straying away from the truth, from God. Worldliness, lawlessness, godlessness are just prevailing. And at the same time, you know, even on the religious side, the churches, so-called denominations, mega churches, they are not advancing. They are not, it's lukewarmness and deadness And then, you know, on the side of the gospel, as the Lord says, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached, and it will be preached to the whole inhabited earth, and the end, then the end will come. So this is happening. On the one hand, the gospel of grace has been pretty much covering the whole earth now. Nearly every, all the six continents, all the major countries, the gospel has been able to reach there. But the gospel of the kingdom, which is a very particular aspect, which is actually the main aspect of the gospel, that needs to be preached to the whole inhabited earth. That is a gospel only the Lord's recovery know how to preach. This is the gospel concerning bringing in the kingdom of God by establishing the churches. So the Lord is moving. Well, we'll actually, later on in this outline, we'll talk about the gospel. You know, the Spirit is moving, especially in this last, within this year. We are seeing many signs. There is this, the Spirit is the intensifying His move to stir up the hunger in man's heart toward the truth. Yesterday, I think one brother told us that nowadays a lot. One of the most common questions people ask AI was what? What is the meaning of my human life? A lot of people now study. They are wondering, what am I living here for? The world is fighting. The politics is just in confusion, in chaos. The social life is just totally, it's not relevant. It's just misleading, confusing. And what is the meaning of my human life? So this is a most common question now. Asking, hey, I tried to give you, and don't trust that answer. Because it's a godless answer. It does not have Spirit, does not have God. We need to pray. Pray to the Lord. Lord, what is the meaning of my life? I'm 30. I'm 35. I'm here working for one of the dot-coms. And I have all these promising future. And many saints, many churches. I'm safe. I'm a saint in one of the churches here. I'm in the recovery. And how do I go on? Do I just get squeezed out because of the busyness, the occupation, and throw in the towel? Or do I learn to come to Him? As Paul says, I can do all things in the one who empowers me. He is our sufficiency. Last night, we also talked about He is our supply. A supply from His exceedingly great, precious promises, from His word. Dear young working ones, don't go through a day. Don't go off to your work so quickly without coming to hear His word, to receive a word from Him that you can say, He spoke to me. My grace is sufficient for you. That's enough to carry you through your hard bosses, the strict demand, and so forth. His word can carry you through. So, now this morning, okay, with whatever time I have left, next 20 minutes or so, is a message concerning living a normal life and service to meet the Lord's present need. I particularly like the word normal. Saints, we all need to live a normal life. Normalized. Our life sometimes is too extreme. Either we are too fervent, doing things too extreme. Either we are so cold, we are lukewarm. We are cold. We are passive. We couldn't care less. And then, or when we become fervent, we just go to the other extreme. But neither is sustainable. We need, the Lord wants us to live a normal life. And our service also must be normal in order to meet the Lord's present need. I mentioned about the three tests the Lord Jesus passed through. He was not tempted by Satan, asking him to jump off the cliff, to tempt God, for him to show forth his power, to bring forth a miracle, that he will not be dashed to pieces. Don't tempt God. Rather, as the Lord says, do not tempt the Lord your God. But instead, don't try to ask God to show you a miracle. Just walk down the hill slowly. And just say, I can't do it, sorry. God is still real, but I'm not going to tempt him. I just take my time, slowly. I'm not that strong. Very normal. And then when he was presented all the kingdoms of, and all the power, all the glories of this world, all he says is, just worship the Lord your God. Him alone do I serve. Dear young brothers and sisters, him alone shall you serve. Amen. Don't serve any .com. Don't serve any of these high-flying companies giving you many carrots, many promising position, and so forth. It's a mirage. It's not reality. I hope, by this little speaking this weekend, that many of us, we can be awakened to realize there is a mind behind this whole thing. There's a system. It's a system. And yes, I'm not telling you to get out of this system. We live here. The Lord, though the Lord told us how evil, how much the world is condemned and judged, He did not deliver us. He did not bring us out of this world. He left us here. We are still in the world, but we are not of the world. It's just like fish in the sea. We don't have to become salty. We don't have to be salty in this salty ocean. So there is a way, brothers and sisters. Don't ask me, show me how. What does it look like? I don't know what does it look like. If there's anything that looks like is Lord Jesus, that's what it looks like. You be calling on the Lord. These days I'm reading Psalms, and I was just impressed how much David just keep, I'm calling on the name of Jehovah. I'm calling on him. What shall I do unto the Lord? I was just calling upon the name of the Lord. David had a difficult time. He was, persecution, opposition everywhere, and he just learned to call on the name of the Lord. We too. That is the answer. That's what it looks like. All of us keep calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. He will bring us through. Well, here are a few points. What God's the first point. First point concerning God's need in His economy today. What is God? What is the need God has? God has an economy. He has a will, and this will is being expressed by this plan of His, where He sent His Son to die for us and become the Spirit and to live in us. And He is that little seed of faith sown into our heart. Now, what does He want to do? What does He need in His economy today? According to the book of the epistle of 1 John, the first epistle of John, We are shown there are these two, three age groups of people. You have the little children. And there's a group of, he called the young men. And then also the fathers, right? I mean, this is very much, this is how the church life is in God's family. As the house of God, there are these different age groups of saints. So this morning, I believe represented here, we have also many young ones, young men, and also a good number of fathers, whom we call. The children, you know, the children are the little children, and some are probably outside there. And, you know, and the little children, it's not that they are needed. They are not needed. They are needed. But they're in terms for the carrying out of God's economy, particularly of importance, are these first two groups, the father and the young men. Now, point A says, the young and the middle-aged saints, those believers who are grown up in God's life. Well, you may say, I'm not grown up yet. You know, I just got saved 5 years ago. I'm a young person. I'm 30 years old. I'm in this category, but I'm still not grown up. Well, I mean, growing up, the grown up is relative, right? But I believe if you would be faithful to be in the church life, and you know, you learn to come to the Lord every morning to contact Him. You come to the meeting, and little by little, the life of God is increasing in you. So to some degree, you have to say, I have some growth of the Lord in me. You know, I saw a lot, you know, being serving in the full-time training there in Anaheim, and I saw many of these young ones, how they passed through the training. They came in one way, very raw, and you know, they just barely made it, didn't had a decision to come to the training. But that's about it, you know. And but thank the Lord that 2 years of training. You know, Brother Lee always said that 2 years equals to 20 years of the church life. And it's not exaggerating. In those 2 years of training, when they graduate, I see, my, you can definitely see more of God being added into them. But is that everything? No. They haven't gotten everything yet. They have gotten more compared to where they were before. This is for sure. This was just amazing to me. Every year, every term. So I believe all of you, younger ones, you all have received certain amount of growth in life in you. You are grown up in God's life, having overcome the evil one. As young men, you have overcome the evil one. You overcome, firstly, even in your salvation, in receiving the Lord. And now, step by step, you are learning to live, to be a young man, for God's economy. You have to live this overcoming life to overcome all the this world system, this cosmos, how to overcome the lures, all the promises, to say no. When certain expectation comes to you, well, we can offer you $1 million this next year. Okay, all you have to do is just be here every day. We can feed you more. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, no problem. Even we'll have a bed for you too. You just help us. I hope many of the young ones here, you'll be able to say thank you, but no thank you. Amen. I cannot. I'm not going to sell my life for this. However great the promises are, I have the church life. I have my health. I have my family. One brother recently told me, you know, what is the most prosperous business right now? Not AI, not in computer. psychiatrist, the mental health specialist. They're making tons of money because so many people are undergoing this pressure, breaking down, can't take it. We need to see through the system today and be able to tell the enemy, no, no. You say, I'll be without a job. That's, so be it. The Lord will open something for me. This is not, I'm not telling you just an empty story. We pass through this. Many of the older saints, they can give you many testimonies. That's how we lived. God took care of us. God has not shortchanged me one bit in my whole life. So don't be cheated. Overcome the enemy, the evil one, being strong, having the word of God abiding within, not loving the world, nor the things in the world. Please, you can add, you need to add in reference to 1 John 2:15, which is the key verse, that do not love the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Father, the love for the Father is in contrast to the love of the world. When you love the world, you know, this love of the world doesn't mean that you have to embrace, you have to just kiss it to that kind of a love, but just to give it a little room, accommodate. You know, these things I also hear quite commonly. Saints like, I'm still in the church. I can still function. I still serve in opening word, and I can still serve in the children's meeting. I can still make my million. I can still. No one can serve two masters. This is the truth. No one can say I can have my 2 feet on two boats. Sooner or later, you will sink. There's no such thing. You either serve God or mammon. You either serve the world or you serve God. We cannot compromise. I don't mean that you just leave your job, don't attend to all your human duty. That's not what I mean. I mean that in your heart, you know He has the preeminence. He is enthroned in my heart. Not my job first. Not my job, not 50-50. Share my heart. 50 with God, 50 with the church, with the world. But the Lord must have the preeminence. And He directs me. You know, what job to take. You know, you may be working more harder, more diligent, more effective than even many others. But yet, your heart is not for that. You give the Lord the first place. You should read, I don't have time, read the footnote of 1 John 2:15. Just a little bit, love the Lord, the world a little bit, will take away the love of the Father in you, and doing the will of God. Now, the next point concerning the saints who are the fathers, those believers who are mature in God's life, knowing the Christ who was before all things, who also is the word of life, who was there from the beginning, continuing to know this eternal Christ by the inner life until maturity. As I said at the beginning, I'm so glad there are still a good number of older saints. And I feel many older saints, don't be discouraged and don't just go to the back row and just forget this is the time of the young ones. No. Yes, you may not be on the front row, but you may be on the, toward the back, but your function may have changed But you, your responsibility is to shepherd, encourage, mentor some of these younger ones. They need you. Sometimes when I look at a group of all young people in one of the group meetings, all young ones, very energetic, very vibrant, but yet I feel inwardly something's missing. They need some solidity. They need some more, you know, this kind of a weightiness that the many of the fathers, the older ones. So I re-encourage, you know, many of the older ones, you have a certain function very much needed in this young, in this age of the younger working age. They need you as their pattern. They need you as their support, as their mentor and guidance. To live a normal life, we need to be different from the world. Those in the world belong to the world and are for the world. The believers, we belong to the Lord. There should be such a distinction. Dear saints, we should have this kind of, I mentioned to you about the Jews, you know, there is such a sense of God's choosing. They are God's people in them. There are certain things they just cannot participate. They cannot do. They know. So among us, we have to be reminded, we are not of this world. As Christ says, I'm from above. I'm not of this world. So are we, his believers. We are being constrained by the Lord to live to the Lord. We are here, not just because of assignment or duty, but because we are constrained. The Lord, the love of God constrains us, presses upon us. Again, that hymn 456 is so precious. You know, the Lord died for us. He loved us. He gave his life to us. We are here. We want to give our whole life to him, right? If he touched you to serve him full time in a job dropping way, amen. That's what I do. I was a pretty good engineer making my, doing my future. But when the Lord came to me, I was touched. I realized I had no choice. I had to take this way to serve him. But if the Lord arranged for you to serve with a job, amen. You are still serving full time, right? You even with a job, your being, your heart is for him. You are constrained by the Lord. Then you need to set up a schedule in your life that is suitable for your living. Even though your schedule may be so busy, so packed, you need to slot out some time. Even 10 minutes, I say, in the morning. Get up a little bit earlier if your time is so tight. Right? 6 o'clock, 6:30, or whatever. You just get up a little bit earlier to regain 10 minutes. That makes a big difference to spend the little time with the Lord before you get on your way, right? If you don't schedule it, the moment you get up, I'm going to have to face this, I have to do that, before you know it, you're gone. You're gone. So the scheduling helps you. Well, I better just move on to say, take the next section is concerning your service. We need to offer up our bodies, our time. The church needs, as the younger ones, your body is needed. If you say, I'm for the Lord, but your body has never shown up here, that is not going to help that much. We need the bodies to be offered as a living sacrifice, right? And the matter of preaching of the gospel, this is, much to say. You know, Bibles for America, brothers just told us, just a couple, last week, Tony, he said, just in these last few months, the order for the Bible nearly tripled compared to a year ago. There's something is going on, brothers and sisters. The Spirit is moving. I mean, not only because of that, Charlie Kirk event, but even before that, that the Spirit is moving. And we are witnessing in many, many college campuses. There is this kind of desire, hunger within many of the younger generation especially. So this is the time for the gospel. Many of you, you know, you are in this generation working with a lot of young people. This is really the time the churches need to pray fervently for the gospel to go out to your colleagues, many young professionals, not only on the campuses, but the gospel needs to spread to many Indians here. I heard that so many Indians. Well, I don't see too many Indians here. There should be many Indians can be gained by the Lord. The gospel needs to spread to all kinds of people, right? We need to pray for this. And also take care of the home meetings, perfecting the new ones, helping the, you know, and also the small group meeting. Go to the small group meeting. This is your meeting for you to function, to learn how to, you know, shepherd one another, right? And also coming to the district meeting to build up the church. Come to a district meeting, prepare to speak something for the Lord in a living and organic way. Don't use AI. Use your spirit. Use your spirit and, you know, labor on the Lord. Speak something with your spirit. Minister life to one another. My, the churches here will be built up. And we are also building up the body of Christ by learning how to live with one another, coordinate with one another. Don't act independently, individualistically, right? Just because you are fervent, you have to learn to be adjusted, balanced by the fellow members. How do you function? You function as one corporate body. Well, finally, there's this glorious living with a glorious goal. Our living is to live Christ. Our goal is to build up the body of Christ. The result is for us to receive a reward in the coming kingdom. We have a glorious future. Brothers and sisters, the older ones, younger ones, we have a glorious goal and a glorious future. Future, a reward awaits us, right? The day is coming and it's soon. The Lord is coming to reward those who love him, who cooperate with him to meet his need, to accomplish his economy. Amen. I just finish here. Maybe we can each pray about 30 seconds with the ones near us. I think the brothers will instruct us what to do.